Hello, you're listening to the C to Z of Movies. My name's Colin, I'm the C. Joining me is Zijan the Z. Hello, Zijan.
Hey, Colin. So, I'm going to throw you under the bus here, because usually I have something, you know, to talk about in this segment, but nothing eventful happened to me in the past 2 weeks of nothing of note or nothing interesting. It's all down to you, right? Yeah, basically.
Is that true, Zijan?
That is so true. I mean, you went to Scotland and you did the Fringe. Surely that is much more interesting than what happened to me in Boston, which is just like nothing.
I see. Really. I definitely remember going to like a big party thing.
I mean, I was at a party as well.
Yeah. That was pretty big.
Yeah, it's okay, I guess, by party standards.
Yep.
So, how was your Fringe, Colin?
It was great, thanks, man. Yeah.
Yeah. How was performing improv for the first time?
For the first time
in a stage which is seen by loads and lots of people.
I should say to any listeners who recognise my voice now that I'm an international star. yes, it was a lot of fun performing at the Edinburgh Fringe for one night only, but hopefully next year for a bit longer if my improv group Beansville can get persuaded. But yeah, I went to 23 shows in 4 days, I think.
Any good one? Anyone that would be the biggest thing ever in the UK?
Showstopper is really good, but they don't.
I've seen I've seen Showstopper like 10 years ago.
They don't need the publicity. But a really good one that was quite small. It was My Father's Nose, which, in fairness, it's a two hander as Caitlin and Dougie. And I must admit, Caitlin is a friend of mine, so it's not an entirely unbiased recommendation. But yeah, really good play that Dougie wrote about a guy coming to terms with his father's dying. But it is a comedy. It's quite light. It's quite at times. It's also quite dark at times. It's very emotional. Really well acted. Really beautiful. So I don't know if they're going to keep doing it, but if you ever got the chance to see My Father's Nose, check it out.
So did any agents or producers sign you guys up then? After seeing your show?
I'm still waiting to hear from them. I can only assume so. I can only assume they're currently battling it out to see who can sign us. But no one's made contact yet. Yeah, no, it was really fun. Really fun few days. So I've been before for a brief period. This is by far the longest I've been. And I loved it. Great times. Can't believe I've got to go back to work tomorrow.
I see I've got one more week off, so I'm quite happy about that.
Nice.
Yeah.
You've been off for the last week, have you?
Yeah, past 2 weeks, I'm off for 3 weeks.
Because of that party?
Because of the party, it was a big party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being a big party, we're doing 2013 in film this episode.
I mean, like, if only I wasn't too tired or sick to complain about the segue, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that wasn't great. But 2013 in film, we'll get there. But I'll say in advance, it's a weird mix of films that I can't quite believe are not much more recent and films I can't believe aren't much longer ago.
Like, I know what you mean. I definitely know what you mean.
I don't know if it was like Red 2, that feels like it was 20 years ago. And then I'd see a film like, I don't know, The Heat or something. I thought, wasn't that like 3 years ago?
Yep.
So a weird mix.
We are old, Colin. That's probably what the
I think that's probably what it is. That's probably what it is. Dear me. So old. But we'll get to 2013 in film. We're also talking about The Sound of Music. Uh-huh. We're doing a quiz on Apple TV Plus original movies. And much more. Not that much more news, as far as I'm concerned. But that's how we start. You got any news, DJ?
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of keeping track of the Barbie phenomenon right now.
Yes.
Basically, it crossed the
Barbiometer.
Basically, yeah, it crossed the billion worldwide box office mark.
Did it? Wow.
Which is incredible because they did it in like 3 weeks.
Yeah. Do you remember last episode when I said that I don't think it's going to do really well in the second or third week? Uh-huh. I guess I was talking nonsense.
Yeah. So it's the second film this year to achieve that landmark. Do you know what the first one was?
Go past a billion.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Mission probably didn't do it. I don't think any of the Marvel ones would have done necessarily.
It's animated.
Oh, Mario.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Which goes to show to our producers out there that movies based on video games and games are doing very well.
Basically, movies based on what people played with when they were kids. That's what's doing big business now, because it's being watched by lots of people our age who used to do that stuff. Not that I ever played with Barbies or Super Mario, but a lot of others did.
I don't think a Tetris movie did very well, did it?
Well, it was on Apple, so.
Yeah, that's true. No one has Apple.
Sorry,
apart from you, I think.
no, I haven't got it. No. No one has it. As well, discovering the quiz, I know nothing about Apple TV Plus movies. Well, good for Barbie. As well as our Barbie-ometer, we've got our Oppenheimer-ometer. And I can tell you that Oppenheimer is now the highest-grossing World War II movie ever made.
That's quite a specialist subject.
It's a little bit specialist, but I thought it was quite interesting. Do you know what it's beaten?
World War II.
Yep.
Like I'm trying to think now because Saving Private Ryan was World War One.
Was it?
It was, wasn't it? It was in the trenches.
Was it?
Oh, I can't remember now.
No, it was set during World War Two.
Oh,
and
is
I
that the
think it
one
was
then?
I think that's now third place, if I remember rightly. The one that it's beaten is another Christopher Nolan film.
Oh, Dunkirk.
Dunkirk. Yeah. So there you go.
Huh.
It is niche, but he holds number one and two World War Two films, which I.
Well done to Christopher Nolan.
Yeah. I wouldn't have
I've
had
still not
him
seen it yet.
down as a World War II guy. Yes, well, you've been busy for that party.
It was a long party.
Yep. So there you go. That's I don't know what the top 10 is. It feels like maybe by the bottom you're not getting very big films. But does
No.
Inglourious Basterds count as a World War II film?
Maybe
Yeah.
Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, what else?
Although I suppose technically that was before America entered World War II, so I don't know whether.
Yeah, well,
I think it
I mean,
counts.
World War II kind of started before that, right? That's
Oh
the
yeah,
thing. Yeah, so.
September 3rd, 1939 was when we got involved. I think Poland were already involved 2 days before. But what else you got?
So we've got rumors for who's going to play Susan and Johnny Storm for in the Fantastic Four.
So many rumors.
As you do, I know. I mean, there are rumors that Adam Driver and Matt Smith, as you mentioned before, are going to play Reed Richards,
Yes.
and you've mentioned it on Twitter. But now we
Did
have Vanessa
we
Kirby.
sorry, did we mention Matt Smith before? I thought that was a new one. But
Oh, okay, that's new then.
yeah.
So Matt Smith could be playing Mr. Fantastic,
Yep, maybe.
potentially, which would make this a true British fare, because current rumors is that Vanessa Kirby, fresh from Mission Impossible,
And she's going to be in Napoleon this year, isn't she?
yeah,
Yeah.
and she. She's great though. I love her in Mission Impossible, and I love her in The Crown. So she's rumored to be playing Sue Storm and Joseph Quinn from Stranger Things, it's the most recent Stranger Things, especially because he appeared as spoiler alert, he died at the end.
What?
You don't watch Stranger Things, do you?
I'm. No, I watched series one. How many series have there been now?
Four, I think.
I'll get there.
Oh,
I definitely
yes.
won't get there.
Yeah. You'll get there when I watch Castaway.
Yeah.
So he's touted to play Johnny Storm, Joseph Quinn. So, yeah, it will make a true British affair if Matt Smith becomes Mr. Fantastic, really.
It's about time the British got another crack at superheroes. We've not done enough.
Yeah, I know, right? It's not like there's a lot of you there with American accents.
I mean, again, it's going to be British actors playing American characters, which is a bit annoying, but I think Vanessa Kirby would be a fantastic Sue Storm. I really like that casting because there's been was it Margot Robbie was linked with it, and I wasn't convinced. I mean, she's a great actor, but I'm not sure how good a Sue Storm she would have been, or how good it would have been to have her do that as well as Harley Quinn. But yeah, I think Vanessa Kirby would be brilliant. I don't know Joseph Quinn really.
I think Joseph Quinn was very good in Stranger Things. I mean, he was the star of that the last season, really. So I can see why they might consider him
Well, apparently that
to
rumor
be
came
Johnny Storm.
about because there was something, and I don't know what is it, whether it was a picture or a file or something that got leaked that had the initials JQ. And so there's rumors that it was going to be Jack Quaid, and he tweeted, "I'm not doing this." So
I
I just went to the next person whose initials were JQ in Hollywood. Seems.
mean, Q as a last name is quite rare as it is, right?
Yeah, so I suppose it can narrow it down fairly easily. There's also been rumors about Ebon Mossbacher, an actor I don't know, but who is in The Bear, which I haven't got around to seeing, but is apparently
Have you
very
not
good.
seen it? The bear is amazing.
Oh, I'll get onto it. I'll get onto it. He's been rumored for. I actually mean that one. I don't mean the Stranger Things one, but The Bear, I've heard enough good things that I probably will give it a go.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Although there are some episodes which are very hard to watch, I have to say. So,
okay.
Good luck!
Thanks, man. But he's been rumored for The Thing. But there have been a lot of Fantastic Four rumors, so...
I know.
Who knows? Who knows?
Take this with a grain of salt.
Hey, do you want to hear how the DCU is going?
Yeah, tell me about it.
It's, so Gal Gadot says that James Gunn said to her they'd love to make Wonder Woman 3 with her. And then later that week, it turned out that might not be true. So it's all going really well.
Like, does anyone want to see Gal Gadot in Wonder Woman 3 now? I mean, she's appeared in so many cameos at this point now. She was in the Flash movie. She was in Shazam 2 at the end. I mean, she has so many powers now. She can resurrect the dead as well. Now,
only if they're what, special curses or something. I think she's burnt a lot of good feeling. I mean, not least with Wonder Woman 2. But to do Wonder Woman 3, I mean, Patty Jenkins is out of the picture. The universe is being rebooted. It would be weird if they got rid of Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill but kept Gal Gadot. I can't see this happening.
I mean, her most recent movie on Netflix, Heart of Glass, has been completely panned by critics as well.
Heart of Stone.
Oh, close enough.
Heart of Glass is a song by Blondie. Well, I don't have Netflix at the moment, but I was planning to watch it when I got it back, but should I not bother by the sound of things? It's got Ali Abad in it. My brother's a big fan of Ali Abad, so I think he's going to give it a go.
We found out that the Marvel Studios, the VFX workers, are voting to unionize.
So they are.
Themselves.
Yeah.
In a historic move, because I don't think they've ever done it before. And I think, I mean, we've mentioned this before in previous podcasts, that the visual effects people have severely been overworked, have been properly overworked by Marvel, have been properly underpaid by Marvel. I'm not surprised that they are striking for this. I mean, Marvel's visual effects has not been top-notch, I would say, especially in the most recent films. Things like the most recent Doctor Strange or the most recent Quantumania, you'd expect those films to have like the best visual effects ever, but they're not great, were they?
No, it sounds like they have been stretched very thin across multiple projects. And I think overall Marvel is suffering from stretching too thin, and they've said that, they've recognised that's an issue. I think in writing as well as in effects, but it could be more strikes, I suppose.
Yeah, less movies.
Yep.
Because everything's been pushed back, I think.
Speaking of, Sony have re-released their slate of movies. There's good news and bad news, Ijen. The good news is...
Give me the bad news first.
The bad news is that Beyond the Spider-Verse is no longer in the 2024 calendar at all. We have said on the podcast before that there was, even before the strikes, it was understood that they were nowhere near ready to release this next year. I think, was it going to be April or May or something next year? That always seemed very optimistic. It's not got a date, but you've got to assume it's 2025 at the earliest.
That's really sad.
That is sad. That is
maybe
sad.
We should take a break as well next year.
Okay. Is this because we're on strike? Are we demanding anything?
Yeah, we demand one more listener.
Sweet. If you are
it's like 10% more.
If you're a new listener to the podcast, let us know and we'll come back off strike. The good news though, Zijan, the good news is that Kraven the Hunter is also being postponed. So we're not going to have to watch that until next August.
So we should take 2024 off, right?
Is this?
I mean, the signs are leading to it.
Just so we miss Kraven. Yeah, maybe.
Miss Kraven and watch the new Spider-Man in 2025.
Yeah. What about the new Mission Impossible, though? Don't miss that.
Is that actually happening?
I think so. Maybe.
For now.
But for now. We can talk about this off air. Ghostbusters and Karate Kid are also pushed back to March and December, respectively.
Great. So this will mess up all our timetable.
Did you know that I don't think I'll put Ghostbusters in front. Did you know they're making another Karate Kid?
No, I didn't. Who's in it?
Don't know.
Hopefully it's Michelle Yeoh.
Oh, it could be Michelle Yeoh, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think it'll work.
Karate Kid reboot. Because they've rebooted it several times, haven't they?
Yes, the last one was with Jackie Chan and J Jaden Smith.
Oh, yeah. Well, my internet's not working properly. So, oh, here we go. We don't know.
No, and so, it's obviously they have a Netflix TV series as well, which is a spin-off of it.
Cobra Kai. Yeah. I'm loving Cobra Kai. Yeah. So maybe it will be linked to that. Did you know, here's the trivia section of the Karate Kid 2024 reboot. As of October 2020, Jaden Smith is still not confirmed to come back as Dre Parker. It's a pretty good trivia.
I've not confirmed to appear in that film as well. So you can put my name on the list as well.
Yeah, other people confirmed, not confirmed. Wen Han is considering coming back.
Who's that?
The actress of Mai Ying. I don't know.
I don't know either.
We're both very tired, in case anyone hadn't spotted that.
But that's all my news for the day, really.
That's all my news as well, which means we move on to our famous and much beloved segment, To See or Not to Zed, where we tell you, the listener, a film you've seen and whether you should see it or not zed it. Zijian, since you've had nothing eventful happen in your life in the last 2 weeks, assuming you've been watching back-to-back movies.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few films. Okay. See? First film I saw was Joyride. So this is not to be confused with the Olivia Colman film, because that came out a while back. But Joyride was directed by Adele Lim, and it's her directorial debut, and she's Malaysian, so that's why I want to watch it. Yeah. The film stars four Asian Americans going back to China to rediscover their roots. Also, it stars Ashley Park, who people will most know her from Emily in Paris, Oscar nominee Stephanie Hsu, most recently from Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Sherry Collar and Sabrina Wu, who I have to admit, that was my first time hearing about them when I saw this film. So this is like a raunchy comedy, so think more in the likes of The Hangover kind of comedy.
Yeah, it seemed like a kind of a rough night or a girl's trip, something like that. Is that fair?
Yep. Quite explicit, quite crude, I would say. So I wanted to say, first of all, to support more Asians in cinema, which is always good. I've heard good things about it too. I think the trailer is very funny.
Okay.
And I think it's pretty good. Very funny at times. Love a lot of the references there in it. The plot, as you expect, is quite predictable. I think I kind of saw it a mile away, but I mean, it's a comedy. There'll be conflict, and then there'll be resolution of the conflict. Nothing groundbreaking in that sense. But I mean, it's a film starring four Asian American women, directed by a Malaysian. So I'm going to support it nonetheless. I may be a bit biased here, but I thought it was good fun. So I think people should check it out. I don't think cinemas are going to show it much. I think it's a very niche, very American audience. I think it's only lasting for like a week here in the UK. But yeah, if you can.
But it is in cinemas, not a. Not a Netflix or something like that. Okay.
It's in cinemas right now.
Cool.
That's my first film. I saw another film because I have so much time, Colin.
Fine. Cool.
Yes.
Because of the not doing anything for 2 weeks.
Exactly. I saw Alice Darling.
Oh, I want to see that. I've not seen it yet.
Have you not seen it? I thought you would, because Anna Kendrick's in it.
Well, exactly.
So it's on Amazon Prime right now. So Alice Darling is about this woman, played by Anna Kendrick, who is definitely, irrefutably being emotionally abused by her boyfriend.
Yeah.
So one day, she left to go on a girls trip with her two best friends, trying to get away from it all.
This is so far sounding like Joyride, but I feel it's going to go quite a different route quite soon.
Yeah, well, definitely less sex.
Okay.
But actually, that's not true. that's not quite true. But anyway, so it's a psychological thriller. It's played as a psychological thriller because he finds out about it. He's not happy about that she went on this trip with her friends. He comes and appears in the cabin. Boom, boom, boom. So I actually think it's a pretty decent film. I think Anna Kendrick is great in it. Her friends are wonderful in it. I think this shows a different side of Anna Kendrick. I think the main issue I have with this film is that so when she went into this cabin with her friends, there's this subplot of this woman, this girl going missing in the forest. Right. So I think Anna, Alice had felt a kindred spirit with this woman, so she started joining in the search parties in the mornings while they're out there to try and find this girl, okay. Basically. So this subplot led to nowhere, in my opinion.
Okay.
I'm not too sure why they had to bring it up there. I think focusing on everything else would suffice. It was just, yeah, very random, very jarring to the plot. I think it just, yeah, I just didn't like that at all. I didn't think it added anything to it whatsoever. So, yeah, that's my only thing that I didn't like about the film. But pretty decent.
See, I do really want to watch it, but it sounds like a very difficult film to watch. Is that true? Or is it?
I don't think so. I don't think it's as bad as you think it may be.
Okay.
I can see it going much darker.
Really?
I don't think it...
Because the trailers made it look really tough. You have kind of the emotional, maybe physical abuse, but particularly emotional abuse.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, it ends with... I don't know.
Well, don't spoil the ending. Don't spoil the ending.
Oh, yeah, don't spoil it or not. But I think it's not as dark as it could be.
Okay.
Put it that way.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'd say I'm not on Amazon Prime at the moment, but when I am, I'll give it a whirl.
Well, you should, because Wheel of Time is coming back.
Yeah, I've just seen the casting for File today, which I think they've...
Who is playing File?
It's someone called Isabella Boutieri, who has done very little so far. But,
hold on, this is the second series. Didn't File only appear in like...
She appears in book 3, so they must be bringing some stuff forward. Yeah.
Oh yeah, but she was a hunter, right? So when the horn is out...
Yeah, I mean, I'm
so
assuming that.
I assume so.
I'm assuming they're going to bring a lot of stuff forward because they're not going to do 10 series of this or 15 series, or it is 14, I think. Mm. Yeah, so excited by that. Sort of. I've mostly been rewatching films, but I did watch one that I've not seen before that's called After Everything, although also called Eternal Love, just to confuse matters. And if you Google After Everything, you'll find a different upcoming film.
Very nice.
It's on Freevee, so it's on Amazon Prime, but free to watch with adverts. And it stars Jeremy Allen White of The Bear fame and Micah Ron Monroe. It's about a couple who kind of hit it off, and then he discovers that he has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And it's about how they kind of work through that and their relationship together. It's really well acted. It's funny. It's sweet. It's dark at times. And I think, yeah, worth, since it's absolutely free and anyone can watch it, I think worth a go. I won't spoil the path it takes, but it takes some interesting twists and turns along the way. Two strong leads.
I mean, I like Jeremy Allen White from The Bear anyway, so I'm looking forward to see more things with him in it.
Yeah,
so.
I suspect this will get more viewers for people looking for stuff he's done. It's not crazily brilliant. I'm looking at IMDb, it's got 6.4. I'd maybe rate it a bit higher than that, but I wouldn't say it's not going to change your life, but it's well worth a watch.
Okay.
We move on then to 2013 in film, and you know what that means, Asia.
Oh no!
It's the classic bit where I asked you what you were doing in 2013.
I wasn't prepared. Oh, I bought a house.
Oh, me too.
Oh my! Yeah, I did. Was it 2013? Maybe it was 2014. It could be. I could be mistaken. Okay. It's one of those years.
Well, I bought a house in 2013.
Oh, I definitely did. Okay, now I'm remembering correctly. I definitely did not buy a house in 2013. There's no way I could afford a house by then.
I didn't think you bought a house in the same year as me.
No. I bought it in 2014.
Well, save that.
That's one. Okay, ask me this now next year, Colin. Yeah. When next year's podcast.
I also learned to drive this year.
Ah, what a good year it is. Me. Oh, this is a year when you finally finish all, you know, a year after finishing all your exams. 2 years after you finish
all
your
exams. 2 years after finishing my exams, then... I finally got around to learn to drive. I became the treasurer of my church in 2013 as well.
Now you find out you have so much free time with nothing to do.
Yeah, it was a big old year. It's a big old year.
That was good fun. Oh, to be 27 again.
Ah, good times. Good times. And we survived being 27, which...
Which a lot of people have.
Some people don't. Yeah. Take that, Jimi Hendrix. Fine. Let's do that thing we always do where we talk about the top 10 highest grossing movies of 2013. I'll preempt it by also saying we're going to do that. Then we're going to talk about some Oscar films. Then we're going to do some other stuff.
Per usual.
As per usual. You know the drill, guys. You know the drill. Number 10 in the highest grossing films 2013 is Thor the Dark World.
I think we've discussed when we did Actor Factor recently on Idris Elba, was it? This is my least favorite Thor film.
But not mine.
Yours is Thor Love and Thunder.
Yeah. For a lot of people, I think Dark World is still ranked as, or maybe not yet still, but it was for a long time ranked as the worst MCU movie. I think a lot of people took against it. And it's fair to say, I think it probably was symptomatic of Phase 2 not quite nailing it in some respects. But
yeah, I mean, it was pretty bad. I think Natalie Portman was severely underutilized in that film.
Yeah, so does she. Even more so, Christopher Eccleston.
But, yeah, I know, right? Why bring Christopher Eccleston in?
But yeah, to do that. I think this is during his brief period where he was doing lots of Hollywood films and hated them all. Stopped. There's some funny moments in it.
Some.
Speaking of,
I can't remember what it
is. Is that time that Count Dennings throws the car keys into the thing of me? That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, hilarious.
Speaking of superhero films that Man of Steel at 9.
Yeah, where we see Zack Snyder's version of Clark Kent and we did not like it.
No, we didn't. I think the first...
Yeah. Do you like seeing Clark Kent, seeing Kevin Costner in a car and say, save the dog.
Yeah.
People cannot see you save anyone else but the dog. No one can see that. It's ridiculous.
I liked the first half of the movie. And then he was like, hey, let's destroy all of Metropolis.
And then kiss on top of it.
Yeah. I like the last line in that movie where Clark Kent joins the newspaper and Lois Lane says to him, welcome to the planet. That was good.
So, a film of two halves? I don't know.
It's one of my favourite last lines of a movie, in fact. I've not made a list of my favourite last lines of a movie, but it'd definitely be in there. What's interesting to me always is that the title was, trying to link to Dark Knight, because it was a kind of classic nickname of the superhero rather than the actual superhero name. And I think it's fair to say, it's not as good as The Dark Knight.
Definitely not.
But I'll tell you what was a good film, Gravity.
Pretty much a solo film, with Sandra Bullock being stuck in space.
Yeah, a little bit of George Clooney, but not that much. Yeah, it was... It's a film that's much better in the cinema. I think you really needed the full impact of the big screen. Watching it at home wasn't quite so hot.
I agree. It also leads to some of the best jokes from Tina Fey and Amy Poehler in the Golden Globe Awards.
Remind me?
George Clooney would rather die in space than spend one more minute with a woman his own age.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good gag. Well, jokes on them. He married a human rights lawyer. Monsters University in at 7, which I remember quite enjoying.
This is the prequel for Monsters, Inc.
It is.
So this is seeing the two head monsters, Sully and Mike, I think.
Wachowski?
Yeah, Mike Wachowski, meeting for the first time in university. And one is a jock and one is a nerd. And we see how they became best friends.
It's like how we met, Zijin. Remember how?
Who is who in this?
Remember how I was a really sporty jock? Do you remember that?
Which part? Clearly, my memory is failing me because I'm turning 37 and all that. But still, like
turning 37. You mean anyway? Okay. We were two nerds, but otherwise, very similar. Very similar. That was a fun one. Appropriately enough, at 6 is Fast and Furious 6, a film I have not seen.
I'm surprised it came out in 10 years ago. I mean, the 6th film came out 10 years ago. How many films?
They've now done 10?
Yeah.
They're not rattling through them, are they? 4 films in 10 years. Come on, guys.
I mean, it's definitely giving Michelle Rodriguez something to do.
Well, there's that. She's going to be in all those Dungeons & Dragons movies.
And all the Avatar. Well, no, she was in the first Avatar film, but that's it.
Was she?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, good for her.
But you need a badass woman. Who do you call?
I call I guess her. I've forgotten. Michelle Rodriguez. I'd already forgotten her name. I'm tired. Number five, Hunger Games: Catching Fire. It's
the second film?
Yes, probably. Yes. Cool.
No surprise there, right?
I've said before, I very much enjoyed Hunger Games. I did not really like the sequels, but this was better than the ones that came after it.
Yep. Anything which has part one and part two in the names should not be on this list. But yeah, I'm
What's the best two films that had part one and part two in the title? Mission Impossible 7 was great, but we don't know how good Mission Impossible
is. You've only seen the first part.
Yeah.
What else is there?
Obviously, Twilight films, Harry Potter films. One half of Divergent film, but they never got around to making part two.
Yep.
That's it's not. I mean, Harry.
So yeah, my theory still stands.
I think Harry Potter is probably
top of the pile. Otherwise.
So Mission Impossible probably will become the top one.
Yeah.
Avengers was going to do it, but they decided not to, weren't they?
They did do part one and part two in the end. They did two different names.
Yeah. So it's okay. It's fine. And even Spider-Verse was going to do it, and they decided against it.
I think they know the lesson that they're learning from.
I mean, there's some good films that got part two and part three in the names, but
one.
Like your Back to the Future, but not the same.
Not the same.
That's a good theory.
Number four,
The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, a film I have not seen.
This is the second film, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen this one. It's okay. I can't remember it. The decision to turn The Hobbit into three films still baffles me. Actually, it doesn't baffle me because movie studios want money.
Yeah.
But it's a horrible, horrible decision and a waste of my time to watch it all.
That's why I did do it. I watched the first one and was like, no, this is just silly. Just
pointless.
Too silly. It was pointless, and other than the fact that it made the fourth highest box office of 2013. Number three is Despicable Me 2, a film I have not seen.
Me neither.
Really? I thought you liked those films.
No. I don't think I watch a lot of non-Disney animated films, to be honest. Unless it's Laika.
Can you tell me to watch Minions? Because I love stop motion. Someone else.
No, it's not me. It's probably someone with a chow, Colin.
Yeah, maybe. Second place is Iron Man 3. It's the best Iron Man film.
I like this one a lot. I like the fact that he's dealing with PTSD.
Yep.
I like the small moments. I didn't care for the big fight at the end with all the Iron Man suits as well as Pepper Potts getting her powers. Not a fan of that, but I really like the middle bit where he is building his suit again, learning to overcome his PTSD with the little boy. That's great.
You are spot on, DJ, and I agree with you entirely. It's a film that had extended scenes for the Chinese market, so that some Chinese doctor that barely did anything in the release we got was a complete hero in the release they got. Yes, I agree on the front. It's kind of cool that they brought back Extremis. So that was the powery thing that both Guy Pearce and later Gwyneth Paltrow had. That's come back in Secret Invasion a little bit.
Secret Invasion, which I still haven't seen the end of.
Okay, yeah. Can't blame you, really. But number one, Zijan, the film that dominated a decade. There's musicals, there's sequels, there's toys, there's dresses. Every little girl's themed party for the last 10 years has been a Frozen party. Anna, Elsa, Olaf, Han, the other one. It's a treat for the whole family, would you say?
Yeah, I'm trying to pinpoint what makes Frozen stands out among all the other Disney films that came before it and the ones that come after it as well. I'm not too sure. I mean, Let It Be is a banger.
I mean,
Let It Go.
Let It Be is a banger, but I don't think we can connect that to this film. Let It Go is a great, great song. That's not messing around. It's almost as good as the version I've heard where they took Smash Mouth's Rockstar. Is it Rockstar? And put those lyrics, somehow auto-tuned it to Frozen. Check it out.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find out why it makes Frozen so much better or so much more popular than all the films before it.
If we'd been an 8-year-old girl in 2013, maybe we would know.
But
we weren't, so we don't.
I enjoyed Frozen, though. I have to say. I saw the musical.
Oh, yeah.
And my goodness, I saw it in the West End. And my goodness, the amount of merchandise those people are just throwing into little girls' hands is crazy, man. Like, I feel sorry for all those parents there. Like,
I still think Tangled is better.
I don't agree with that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think Frozen is better.
Join us next episode for our Frozen versus Tangled showdown. Here are some films that won Oscars or won Oscar nominated, including Best Picture film 12 Years a Slave. That's an unrelentingly horrible film to watch, but very good.
We covered it in Look Back at Oscar a while ago. It is horrific. But I mean, it's based on a true story as well, right? It makes you think.
American Hustle, which was underwhelming, I think.
I agree with you. I mean, the costumes look great. The hair looks amazing. But other than that, was it actually Oscar worthy? I don't think it is.
No, I think because it was coming off the back of Silver Linings Playbook, and David O. Russell was really
which is
hot.
Definitely much better.
Jennifer Lawrence was huge. Christian Bale, Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner. It's kind of really kind of zeitgeisty cast. But, underwhelming at the time. Captain Phillips, Tom Hanks, maybe his last great performance. Is that fair?
I think it was the last performance he got Oscar nominated in, maybe?
I'm trying to think whether he did for when he played Mr. Rogers. He might have done, but I'm not sure. Yeah.
Was Saving Mr. Banks was before this, right?
Same year.
Oh.
I don't know whether it's before or after. Or at least it came up on my 2013 in film list anyway. Hopefully we've looked to the right list. I think, he is really fantastic towards, particularly in the last few scenes of this. Heartbreakingly good. Hey, who's our favourite actor? Jared Leto. He got an Oscar for Dallas Buyers Club.
Which I've not seen.
It's okay.
Okay.
I saw it on a plane. I just remember feeling a bit sorry for Jennifer Garner, because like pretty much everyone else in this film got Oscar nominated, she didn't. Oh. Yeah, like it was kind of. Do you remember the reconnaissance?
Yeah, because he was in Wolf of Wall Street as well. Mm,
same year. Also got a bunch of nominations. Don't think it won anything.
No, win a lot though in Oscars. I don't think so.
No.
Just nominated.
It's. Like most modern Scorsese films these days, way too long. But it was a good, very good Leo performance. And had a lot going for it. Philomena, beautiful film. Judi Dench is phenomenal in that. Have you seen Philomena?
No, this is the one about her tracing back her roots in Ireland or something?
There's a character, Philomena. It's based on a true story. She was... made to give up her child for adoption.
Yes.
She was very young. And trying to trace that child. And it's co-written by Steve Coogan, who also plays the journalist in it, who's interviewing her and I think trying to help her as well to track down her son. She both of them are really, really good. It's a very moving story. Done very well. And I think Steve Coogan's been fairly open that he doesn't get masses of fantastic film roles. And so he's like, well, I'll write one there. Judi Dench on top form there. Nebraska. Saw it on a plane.
Not seen it.
Don't remember it that well.
I completely forgot about that. I didn't know it was nominated for Oscar.
Fair enough. I don't think it's watched a lot these days. Her. We both love Her. We've talked about it a lot.
Yeah, I think it's one of my favorite film on the list, really. Yeah. It won Best Screenplay, as it should. Because screenplay is just brilliant.
Yeah, so good. So good. Really, really tight film as well.
That's what I like about it, right? Like, people just really need to know how to edit their films down.
Yeah, apparently there was a huge subplot with Chris Cooper that all just got cut out. And it's like, I think watching that and watching Wolf of Wall Street around the same time is like, yes, this is how you make a film tight.
Yeah.
Before Midnight, the second of the Before trilogy, I really liked. It's the third of the Before trilogy. I think Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, Before Midnight. Yes, Before Sunrise, I think is fantastic. I think there's diminishing returns have these ones. They were making them every 7 years, but obviously they've not kept up with
Was it nominated for an Oscar though? I don't think it was it?
that. Yes.
For Best Picture.
I think for a screenplay thing, maybe.
Oh.
Yeah, so I've just gone for all the ones that have got any nomination at all. Save Mr. Banks on the list. Yeah, I remember it being all right. About the making
it's okay.
Of Mary Poppins.
It clearly doesn't follow the true story of it, though, because P.G. Travers definitely does not like the film whatsoever. So the end of the film where you see Emma Thompson looking at the Mary Poppins and crying.
Yeah.
That did not happen.
Did not happen,
no. I don't know why they added in.
Well, I guess because it's a Disney film. So they got a P.L. Travers, in case anyone's going to write to us.
P.L. Travers, sorry.
Yes, and I think Tom Hanks plays Walt Disney maybe slightly more jovially than is fair. It's very much a Disney thing. But Colin Farrell was really good in it, I thought, playing P.L. Travers' father.
As the father, yeah.
In flashback. I should mention Blue Jasmine because Simon will want me to. He saw it and said he thought that Cate Blanchett will win an Oscar. I said I don't think so, and then she did. So he was. He still reminds me every now and again of that. We've got Prisoners, which is a Denis Villeneuve film. Have you seen Prisoners?
I have, with Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal. Surprisingly good. I think it's good to see Hugh Jackman break out into a different role from his superhero days. Doing something completely different, I would say.
Yeah, it is very good. It's very dark. Like, he goes to some dark places as that character. He's basically torturing someone. It's well, not basically. He just is torturing someone. It's pretty crazy. Let's rattle through these. Orders Lost as a one-man film. We talked about a long, long time ago in films with just one person, I think. Inside Llewyn Davis is one of the Coen Brothers films starring Oscar Isaac. Was it Oscar Isaac? Breakthrough must have done other stuff before that, but I don't think I'd heard of him before that.
I have not seen Insect Llewyn Davis,
fair
so
enough.
I can't really comment on that.
I think like most Coen Brothers films, it's maybe not too plot heavy, but yeah, it's good. Star Trek Into Darkness, we've talked about before, it's not great, but it must be nominated.
Surprised he didn't make the top 10.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It must have been fairly close. The Invisible Woman, Ralph Fiennes plays Charles Dickens, and Leslie Jones plays his wife. The idea being she was invisible to the public because he basically kept her behind the scenes. So it sounds like a superhero film, doesn't it? Those were the ones I've missed. Were there any other Oscar-y films you wanted to talk about?
Probably not. Well, just to mention a few films that came out that year as well. Fruitvale Station came out that
great
year.
Film.
I know you love Fruitvale
right.
Station.
I've only seen it once. I should watch it again. But yeah, have you seen that?
No, I've not seen it yet. But I know about it. I know how dark it is, and I'm not sure I'm willing to go through that.
I mean, it's obviously because it's about a guy being killed, but it's not kind of. I didn't find it crazy difficult to watch. I think it's the brilliant thing about that film is that it's Michael B. Jordan. It's directed by Ryan Coogler. They worked together a lot since. And it's got a guy who was shot by the police. But the brilliant thing about it is they don't make him out to be a saint. They do show him as a flawed character. Really good.
It was the year of lots of attempted assassinations of the US president. So that's White House down.
Oh, yeah.
Olympus has fallen.
Yeah.
The year of that. This was the year of the last of the Cornetto series, The World's End.
Not to be confused with.
Was
This is the End, which also came out that year.
Not exactly. Lots of confusing names this year.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman was in The Wolverine, which came out that year. Which I couldn't imagine. Can't believe it was only 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Because
sworn
it was much longer.
Yeah.
Felt like that. And obviously my least favorite movie of all time.
Yes.
Now You See Me.
I do have a list of films we talk about a lot from this year, and that's top of the pile. Yeah. Elsewhere in that list, two of my favorite films, in fact, three of my favorite films. The Spectacular Now, which I talk about a lot. Miles Teller and Shailene Woodley. Short Term 12, brilliant performance from Brie Larson and a lot of cast of people who came more famous later on. And About Time. A wonderful Richard Curtis time travel romantic comedy family film. Also, Gangster Squad, a film that I love that everyone else hates.
So yeah, that's 2013 in film. I think it's a pretty okay. Yeah, I think Her was quite a big standout for me though, without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean, I've still got a massive list if we want to keep going.
Oh, are you going through it? Sorry.
Sorry, I got through the Oscar-y stuff, but there's a lot more. So have you done all of yours?
I've done all the ones I want to talk about.
I'll talk through some. So The Way Back is a really nice film. I don't know if you've seen that one. It's about a kid who spends his summer on holiday with his family. Is it summer? I think it's summer. On holiday with family, but there's a water park nearby that he spends a lot of time at. It's really, really nice film. Much Ado About Nothing is a Joss Whedon adaptation that he basically filmed in his house on a no budget at all. But that's really nice. Locked. Have you seen Locked, Tom Hardy film?
No.
So it's just basically just him driving down the motorway.
Is it L-O-C-K or L-O-C-K-E?
L-O-C-K-E. Oh. That's his character's name. And it's just him in the car on the phone to people. I can't remember quite the job, but he works somewhere and some people have messed up something, like a delivery's gone wrong or something, so he's talking to them. He's also talking to the woman who's given birth to his child, voiced by Olivia Colman over the phone. But you don't see anyone else, you don't see anything else, you just see him in the car. But it's an incredible performance. Really, really worth watching. Some bad ones. The Place Beyond the Pines I didn't like. I know some people do.
Isn't that... Oh no, I'm confusing it with so many things now. I thought there was a Jennifer Lawrence film, but it isn't. That was the house at the end of the street.
Yeah, Place Beyond the Pines. It's Ray Liotta, Ryan Gosling, various others. I just frankly liked it. I didn't like it at all. We've got The Secret Life of Walter Mitty was a bit disappointing.
Yeah, I thought it would be better than what it was, but it's just, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Guy doing stuff.
Didn't really get explained very well. The Great Gatsby was one that was again a bit disappointing, with Leo and Kerry Mulligan, directed by Baz Luhrmann. I think there were high hopes for that one, and it kind of didn't really hit them. Probably Tobey Maguire's last big movie before now I had. Hayley Steinfeld was in an adaptation of Romeo and Juliet.
But there was one that, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I think it was one which was adapted by Julian Fellowes, if I remember rightly. And it's kind of forgettable. I mean, if you know Romeo and Juliet, it's Romeo and Juliet. And everyone knows Romeo and Juliet. I tell you what, have you come across the film Grudge Match?
No. What's that? Hell of it,
it's Robert De Niro and Sylvester Stallone boxing each other.
Nice.
In 2013. I mean, that would have been a great film.
How did I miss that?
Yeah. Kevin Hart's in it as a promoter or something. But yeah, basically
is it a good film though?
Really old people lumbering around. It does what you expect it to do, to be honest. Yeah, it's maybe would have been a great film in 1982 or something. But since they were, I mean, because they were up against each other in the box office for Rocky and Taxi Driver in 1976, and it's quite nice to see them come back again. The Butler, a film I accidentally saw with Steve Thorley when we meant to see Thor: Dark World, but went into the wrong.
Is this Lee Daniels, The Butler?
Is it Lee Daniels? I thought it was Forrest Whitaker. Oh, the Lee Daniels is the character, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the name of the film is much longer than The Butler. And they shortened it to The Butler.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, which I quite liked, actually, for a film I saw accidentally. Is that enough? I mean, I've got a massive list here, but I can't...
Why are you doing this, Colin?
I just want to be complete. I don't want people saying, you didn't mention... Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2.
They'll be fine. They'll get over it. It's not that great anyway.
It's not that great.
Actually, it's not true. That's not true. That's a lie. It's pretty okay.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot worse than the first one. Oh. Yeah, it's a shame. Some of the good ones I'll quickly mention. Just Rush, I thought was a really nice film. Chris Hemsworth. Probably Chris Hemsworth's best non-Thor film, I would say. Have you seen that one?
No.
Plays James Hunt, a British racing driver.
Oh.
It's really good. Let's finish on Oblivion, because I can't go through the year without mentioning a Tom Cruise film. It's directed by Joseph Kosinski. He went on to direct him in Top Gun Maverick. And it's a beautiful looking film that
is... Didn't say much.
Otherwise forgettable. Yeah, it looks great.
Yes.
Story not so great.
I know, I agree. I've seen that as well. It's so forgettable.
Yeah. We move on then to look back in Oscar, the segment where we talk about a film that has won Best Picture Oscar. Zijan, what are we looking at?
We are looking at The Sound of Music, the 1965 American musical drama film, produced and directed by Robert Wise, starring Julia Andrews and Christopher Plummer. It's an adaptation of the 1959 stage musical. So this is one of the films which was a musical before it became a film.
Mm.
With the music composed by Rodgers and Hammerstein. I mean, wow. It's based on the story of the Trapp family singers. And it's about a young Austrian postulant. It's a copy of this from Wikipedia, because who uses postulant in their daily...
What's a postulant?
I have no idea.
Okay. Is it like someone who's going to become a nun?
I think so.
That makes sense.
You're more Christian than me, you should know this.
I am indeed more Christian than you, but... it is a candidate, especially one seeking admission into a religious order. There you go. Oh. I'm a Protestant. You sound more Catholic.
So she's sent to the villa of a retired naval officer and widower to be governess to his 7 children. I received 5 Academy Awards, including Best Picture and Best Director. So this was Wise's second pair of awards. He won the first one from West Side Story in 1961. So he's very good at directing musical films, clearly.
Yeah.
Fair though, that was a decade for musical films, because I think Oliver came out a few years after that and won Best Picture as well.
Well, of course. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, here's some trivia for you, Colin.
Okay.
There were 2 new songs in the movie that were not featured in the musical. Mm. Do you know what they were?
Well, one of them, can I get the title? It was the one where she was talking about having confidence in herself.
Yeah, that's correct. I Have Confidence. That's one it. Of them.
Do I know the other one? I don't think I do.
Hmm. The second song was Something Good, the song sung between the captain and Maria when they were realizing they were falling in love for each other.
Oh, that was a good song.
That is a good song, yeah.
Usually the ones they add in for films are rubbish.
I know, right? It's usually just to win the best Oscar for song.
Which I guess they probably didn't have at this point. So,
no.
Yeah, I thought I'd seen this film. I'm not sure I had seen it all the way through before.
What, really?
I mean, I've definitely seen most of it before, but I don't think I've actually sat down and watched the whole thing in one go, or all of it. And, I mean, it's great, isn't it? Let's not beat about the bush.
It's a great, yeah, great it's movie. A bit too long, though, in my opinion.
That was my first... When I looked at it, it's like, what, this is 2 hours 50 or whatever? But I think that's because that's how long musicals are. And if you add 2 more songs into it, what are you going to expect?
I mean, they took away 3 songs.
Okay. Fair enough. It's Hugh Grant's favourite movie. Did you know that? There's some trivia.
Oh, is it? I didn't know
that. Some trivia for you.
I mean...
The songs are so good. I mean, a lot of musicals, there's like 1 or 2 good songs, but they're pretty much all winners, aren't they?
I think The Sound of Music is one of those musicals which you can consider a gateway musical. So if anyone wants to, you know, try out or listen to something from the musical genre, I think The Sound of Music is a pretty good way
dangerous
to get them into it. Because the songs are really catchy. The songs are so good.
Yeah, you watch this and you think you're okay, but before you know it, you're watching South Pacific. You're watching Into the Woods. You're watching the last 5 years. I'm just going for Anna Kendrick ones now.
Watching Into the Heights.
Into the Heights, great movie.
In the Heights.
There you go. Yes, I thought Christopher Plummer was brilliant. I'd forgotten how good he was in this.
He kind of like didn't like to associate himself with The Sound of Music after that for a bit.
Oh, yeah.
I think during the 90s and the 2000s, he just sort of like, stop asking me things, questions about The Sound of Music. And then I think when his career resurged again in the 2000s and 2010s, then he started being more happy with talking about it. But I mean, I saw Julia Andrews on the Graham Norton show with Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston, and she's still wonderful. She loves that role. She owns that role. Yeah. And
which do you prefer, Mary Poppins or Sound of Music?
So this I definitely saw Sound of Music before I saw Mary Poppins.
Okay.
So my impression of Julia Andrews firmly rests in The Sound of Music. I do love The Sound of Music a little bit more than Mary Poppins.
So I'm the other way. We watched Mary Poppins a lot when I was a kid. And I'd say I may have seen Sound of Music once, but yeah, so for me it's Mary Poppins. But
they're both good, huh?
Both great. Do you prefer them both to her voice work in Aquaman?
Yes.
Yes, me too.
But
me too.
I mean, we can't really blame it, right? Because like, she lost her voice in the 90s.
Oh, right.
So she can't really sing anymore because she had throat surgery.
That's a real shame.
A botched throat surgery as
well.
Yeah.
It's also great. in My Fair Lady.
She wasn't there in My Fair Lady.
She did the voice.
She didn't.
Oh, she didn't, did she? She was in the stage play, stage
It's
musical.
always Mommy Nixon, I think, who did all the voices back then for all the female actresses who can't sing, like the West Side Story as
And in
well.
fact, Christopher Plummer was dubbed in this, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He wasn't doing original singing.
You don't really get that anymore. You just get
No.
either you get singers who aren't, or actors who aren't brilliant at singing, or you just get them doing their thing. Yeah, good work. The Sound of Music. You're still great. Some good drone shots as well. Well, if I'm not drone, helicopter, I suppose. Next time is Actor Factor, and we are talking about the films of Paul Dano, or possibly Dano. I can never remember.
He's got a new film coming out.
Has he?
The GameSpot one.
Oh, yes. Dumb Money.
I've been seeing trailers on it
Let's
all the time,
pretend that
so.
I chose him because I want to be topical.
Okay, good.
Actually, it probably is subconscious that I saw that and it was in my mind. We move on then to our final segment, which is the quiz on
We're
Apple
finally
TV
here.
Plus. You can go to sleep soon, Dijon.
Yeah,
We're
thank
also
you.
recording an hour later than we usually do.
Yeah, it's not our best work.
But is it going to be our best quiz? Bearing in
We
mind
shall see.
that, yet again, I didn't leave enough time to do this properly. And there's more of these than I thought there were. Question one for you, Zijian. Which 2020 movie is based on The Good Shepherd by C.S. Forrester?
Let's go with the animated film, Wolfwalkers.
No, it was Greyhound.
Question one for you. Which Apple TV film is an English remake of the French-Belgian film La Famille Bélier?
La famille Bélier.
Bélier. Wait.
It's almost an. Oh, that sounds like it could be Coda. I'm going to go Coda.
It is Coda.
Nice. Speaking of which, question two. Coda won three Oscars, but how many nominations did it get?
Oh, wow. Did he get 3 for 3? Let's go for that.
Correct, yes.
Nice. Question two for you. What's the name of the live recorded musical on Apple TV set in a small town in Canada around the 9/11 terrorist attacks?
What? That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
I have never heard of that, so I'm just going to have to guess what it could be called. And it's going to be called Mano Manitoba.
It's called Come From Away, and it was on the West End for a bit as well. And it's a wonderful show, surprisingly for such a bleak topic. But it's about, like, so in this small town in Newfoundland, so a lot of the planes were directed to that town because of worries of more terrorist attacks during the 9/11
Okay.
attacks. So it shows how that small town of people just grouped together to help make the passengers feel good and comfortable given the circumstances. So, yeah.
Okay. If I ever do another Apple TV trial, I'll take a look. Who wrote and directed The Tragedy of Macbeth?
What? Isn't this the one with Denzel in it?
Yep.
I'm gonna go with Denzel then.
It was Joel Coen, one half of the Coen brothers.
Yeah, I should have known. Well, why should I know that? But anyway, question three for me. The film Cha Cha Real Smooth focuses on 22-year-old college graduate Rafe, who starts making money as what?
Now, I have seen this movie. Can I remember the answer? He is a kind of like a party organizer at bar mitzvahs and stuff.
Yeah, I'll give that to you. It's a party starter. Basically, he gets the party going, right?
Yeah, it's a good film. Question four. Which movie had the tagline, "The crazy behind the craze"?
Is this the Beanie Bubble?
It is the Beanie Bubble. Good work.
Either that or Tetris, but I
Yeah,
don't think the Tetris was quite crazy,
I was
right?
trying to. I must admit, I was trying to con you with Tetris, but you saw through that.
Yeah, question four for me. Cherry tells the story of a veteran played by Tom Holland suffering from PTSD from which war?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's quite modern, so I'm going to say the Iraq War.
Yeah, that's correct.
Cool, 3-2 to me. So you need this one to stay in the game.
Oh, no.
Name any actor in the film Ghosted, other than Chris Evans and Ana de Armas.
What?
I have Wikipedia open in front of me.
Oh my goodness.
Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
It's going to make it harder.
I mean, it's literally just Chris Evans and Ana de Armas.
It's a lot of cameos.
Cameos. Who directed it? Can you tell me who directed it?
Oh, go on then. It was directed by Dexter Fletcher. But I'm now not going to accept the answer to Dexter Fletcher, who appears in it.
No, that's fine. I'm trying to think of who will be in it with him. Let's go with Jamie Lee Curtis. Because why not?
Why not? I'm afraid not. You could have had Anthony Mackie, John Cho, Sebastian Stan, Tim Blake Nelson, and Adrian Brody. And of course, Ryan Reynolds, the king of cameos.
Oh, of course he was. My last question, which we want anyway, so it doesn't matter. The documentary The World's a Little Blurry is about which singer?
Oh, I don't know that. It doesn't matter. Travis Cocker.
It's Billie Eilish.
Yeah. Cool. What are we quizzing on next time, Zijin?
The Hangover series.
Okay. Have we not done that?
I don't know. I Googled it recently. I didn't think it came out, but maybe you spelled it differently.
No, you're right. We haven't. And what is our main topic for next time?
Blue Beetle.
Yeah.
Great.
I guess we'll see you then.
I know, right? Bye.